Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Is it just me, or Odyssey is now you have to click the play button once the stream starts. It used to start automatically, but now I have to click on play. That's fine. It's kind of annoying when a live stream starts playing in a tab you have open, but you're not really prepared to... playing it. Real Bass Talk says I had to do that too. And Dead Star also. Well, it seems like it's a new feature. You guys are finding it annoying? Oh, yeah. Well, it's annoyance for annoyance. There's another form of annoyance, which is you have kept the tab open and it starts playing. But most of the time when you keep a tab open of a live stream, you want to listen to that live stream once it starts. So a weird approach, but at the same time, they have solved the no audio problem, at least it seems to. It's been a month that I have not had a no audio problem, so that's really great. That's really appreciated. John Drake says, if this ban can be sidestepped by a VPN, it's performative, like most everything Washington does. Okay, I don't know what's in reference to, but yes, I agree that some bans are very symbolic. Other bans like Twitter will track the devices you've been using. They will track your IP. There was the case of Academic Agent who had found an old iPhone of his in his storage places. He had opened it and had logged into his new Twitter account. And they had rebanned him for years. You know, he had an old account that had been banned, and for years he had not used it, he reused it, and suddenly, poof, detected, you are the old account that we had banned. Blanket says, how's your day, JF? It's been awesome. Very productive times in my life. I love everything that I'm doing, although I can't talk about it all. Life is good, man. And, you know, we've been having a lot of snow still. Surprising amounts of snow for March, given that we didn't have much snow for January and February. But so now there's full of snow out there, and I just didn't go to clean it up. I just stayed home with Mama JF, and we're enjoying family time. It's so much better than going outside and going through the trouble of de-snowing and snow plowing. Perhaps I'm gonna have to do it because at this point I have to go buy milk. But you know, it's relaxed. We've been 3 days just in the house and looking at the big storms and letting the snow accumulate. Speaker's Corner says, JF, is that stone behind you real or a wallpaper? That is a plastic stone that is normally used to build flower displays outside the home. It's an exterior fake rock surface that you can buy at, you know, the hardware store or whatever. I've been building this back in 2017-18, and I've been transporting it from Quebec to our new location, and it's been delivering. It's been just standing there, and that's a BAM wood beam. And then that's kind of an interior wall cover to give a woody aspect. And those are actual logs from just splitting logs, with an axe and with a chainsaw, separating the log sections and then splitting them with an axe. That is the real thing, the real logs, but the rest is fake. Dead Star says, JF is not gardening this year. No, I have decided to concentrate on building activities because I have so much to build. I want to give my all, and I don't want to care for plants. Anyways, I've established my garden. It's going to be still good in a year from now. I just want to not lose time producing vegetables because I don't need them that much. Our fridge is full. Our reserves of food are full. I can handle a year without production, and it will allow me to concentrate on finishing a lot of building activities, doing that just that all spring and all summer. Cloud Warmer says, hello, JF. Hope you're well. Thank you for your recent streams. I did some of my own pluming this week. It was very satisfying. That is all. I highly encourage everyone to do pluming. It is so liberating to be able to master the arrival of water to your life and to your family. It is sacred almost. It's a spiritual experience. There's nothing like it, really. Once you master plumbing, and now I master electricity, holy shit, nothing can go wrong in this house. I can fix everything. That is such a good feeling. Don't have to call someone, don't have to pay anyone. That is attaining equilibrium in your life as an adult when you can do all this. John Drake says, your allergy problem could be caused by sitting by those logs. Maybe, but you know, I think allergies have been something I've acquired in life working with animals. I was working in an animal environment for like 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, like a maniac, breathing all those animal airs and dust and everything. So I think that's much more likely to have caused my allergies. And if anything, you know, I've been spending a couple of months now without major allergic reactions, but probably tied to the good quality of air in the winter and the fact that it's dry and, you know, there's not much dust in the air. Perhaps it will get worse in the spring. Blanket says, JF, do you think the trend will just take over YouTube instead? But it's not a trend that is much fit for YouTube. It's really a trend where, okay, you want to see a sexy woman, you want the video to last less than 1 minute because you're already finding her annoying before the video ends. And so it's much more of a clip / TikTok / small video culture than what would be giving you a rise on YouTube. But I found this video absolutely amazing, absolutely white-pilling. And people are telling me it's an old video. Maybe it is. I don't know the date. But it's so white-pilling because you had this trend of females basically stripping in the fucking gym. Clearly, you know, they haven't built their muscles in the same way that these guys have built them. Look at the guy. It's like, this guy has been spending years and years in the gym. This girl is sometimes going to the gym. So they go into that male space and they feel entitled not only to be there, that's fine, but they leak signals from their boobs. It's like, psh, and they leak signals from their ass. It's like, psh, and they feel entitled as to their leaks that somehow get to your eyes. They feel entitled to control that. You're not entitled to the signals you willfully display in a way that you put your boobs in front of my face. You put your boobs in front of your camera. And so, sorry if my sight crosses you as I examine the room, but you know, men are getting aware of this. I mean, we've always been aware. I mean, just a woman enters the room, things feel much worse already. We have to control everything we say. We have to control our eyes. We have to neutrally look onto the ground and say, how are you doing, without looking at them in the eyes or in the boobs. It is a fucking nightmare. But men are getting wise to what these girls are doing when they intentionally do it to provoke interactions in front of their camera. And at this point, they're not taking it. This girl is about to be trespassed by an employee of the gym because she tries pulling this whole, hey, you look at me, bro. You have a problem, bro. Why you look at me, bro? And it doesn't take 5 seconds before she's told to either relax or be kicked off the gym. And this is white-pilling because it's men getting together about around obvious female abuse. Do you need something? Look at her. Do you need something? Do you need something? As she is tripping.
Do you need something? Okay.
And this guy is like, what? What are you doing here? I saw you. I saw him. He didn't look at you.
I thought so.
And he says, are you okay? And she says, keep it pushing. If you're getting rude, you can leave.
Nobody was looking at you in any type of way.
Nobody was looking at you in any type of way. And she says to that, you don't own the gym.
I don't own the gym, I work here.
And he says, oops, I don't own the gym, but I work here.
Yes. Then if you're getting rude, then you can leave.
That means what?
I can call the police and have you trespassed right now. Would you like that?
I can call the police and have you trespassed. And she says, go ahead.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead, let them know.
That's what we'll do. So right now, I'm just going to take the stuff and head up front. Hi,
I love this. She says in the TikTok display, I was trespassed and my membership was revoked. Boom. Over. You don't come here to annoy and harass men who have been paying their membership for years, and you come there and try to impose your rule and tell them you keep pushing. It's like, whoa, 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 tough girl. Calm down. I'm glad that one of these was caught. I hope that more is caught going forward. I think men must ally against this. Because the problem is, if a woman yells, we have to stop this reaction of all men of, oh, who do you want to be defended from? Like, here I am, willing to sacrifice my life for a random woman on the streets. This has to stop. We have to all get together. I know it's a collectivist argument. I don't often make those, but here we have to do it because it's all in our interest. And ultimately, every vagina is a single vagina that can be used by a man or zero men, but it can't be used by multiple men at the same time. And so we have no interest at making war among each other to defend women. What we have to do is, anytime they try to pull this, we say, hey, this stops. You stop harassing my boy mate here. Rodi Lucid says, her chest is too small. Men don't watch her as much as she thinks they do. Just because she gets comment on the internet, it doesn't translate to real life. Yeah, she was an overall just old, normal-looking woman. Adair says, modern femoid behavior has gotten JF to advocate for collectivism. Wow, it really is that bad. Yes, I mean, we have to unionize. Blanket says, JF, did you know that there's a video trend of trad women? I mean, there's many. I keep seeing those on Twitter. I mean, there's always these trad women in ancient clothes, and they are beautiful, and they're tending for the garden. It's like conservative porn. I keep getting those all the time. Let me tell you, I'm starting to be tired. I'm tired by what Twitter assumes I will like. Like, Twitter this morning was sending me a super deep debate about the Hyperborean spirit. And there was Philosophy Cat in there arguing super intense against a guy, and she was like, this is from the Norse tradition, it's a symbol of blah blah blah, Hyperboreanism belonging from the North Pole region and above whatever latitude or longitude that she was talking about. And the other guy was like, this is genetically irrealistic what you're saying. That doesn't make sense. And she was fighting back. She was telling him, you don't reduce my conception of Hyperboreanism to the genetic aspects. It's a historical quest, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck is even Hyperborean culture? I have no idea. Dino Lugovic says, is JF a Hyperborean? Well, I wouldn't know. You tell me. I wouldn't know. This is not a tradition that was passed on in my family, so maybe I'm not. I will be on the Troll Academy, a prestigious feature this Sunday by Mathieu Ruet-Lévesque, the host of the former show Agora Underground. You know, it's a French show I had went to, and it was pretty nice then. There was this other co-host with him who wanted to do a career in politics, and I was like, bro, I don't think you can get your career in politics if you spoke to me. I think that sets it. So go find yourself a job at the McDonald's. Your political science degree in Quebec will be absolutely useless. So that was it. So the co-host eventually left, and Mathieu has started his Troll Academy, which is... It's a very prestigious institution meant to teach courses on sustainable and equitable trolling. So I said, I am honored to announce that I have been selected among a handful of thinkers to give a course at the prestigious Troll Academy. My course will be titled The Limits of Meta-Irony and will be in French live this Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And Mathieu was saying, the Troll Academy only promotes high IQ trolling, registered trademark. So, of course, you was on the... I think he just doesn't know how to write in English. He was saying, of course, you was on the VIP list. Our purpose is to develop a trollosophical methodology to put ethical trolling on the map. The problem is that a lot of gifted people are low psyche because socially retarded. Well, that is a big problem, social retardation, and we hope to fix it this Sunday as I will lay out my theory of meta-irony. And I will argue that meta-irony is a light shine onto the tree of possible irony, thus highlighting patterns of truths that emerge from the contrast between the irony that people expect and the irony that isn't there. And ultimately, it's a way of hammering the truth in your face with a double punch, like boom, combination. That's what I will argue. I will argue that basically the shadow that a tree can do, if you put light over a tree, there will be a shadow on the ground. Is the shadow a thing? No, it's not a thing. The shadow is an absence of thing. The shadow comes to be observed as there is more light on the side and there is no light there. So it's a shadow. And Douglas Hofstadter had been adding a layer to this. We discussed this yesterday in the private Patreon hangout. Douglas Hofstadter had been bringing another concept to this. If the tree is there, but there's no light, but there's snow falling onto the tree, you will see at the bottom of the tree that there is a shadow of snow. There is an absence of snow because the snow has been captured by the branches of the tree. So here you have what a shadow is. A shadow is a noted exception in an otherwise expected phenomenon. So you have the shadow of light. The second layer is you have the shadow of snow. I will add a third layer to this. You have the shadow of human cognition. When you use meta-irony, when you state something like when Nick Fuentes on the Pearl podcast states something like, oh yeah, Stalin, you know, wasn't so bad after all. It's like, okay, Stalin wasn't so bad. Or you know, Hitler loved babies or you know, that kind of thing. That is meta-irony because you have the first layer. The first layer is truth. So was Hitler loving babies or was he not? That is the first layer. That is the question about the state of truth. The ironic statement would be saying, well, you know, Hitler loved babies too, but he did kill 6 million Jews. Now, that would be the ironic statement. It's the second layer. The meta-ironic statement is to be Nick Fuentes on Pearly Things and say, oh, well, you know, Stalin, I think that You know, I think that there may be an overcount here in the wrongs that he have committed. Now, this could be true. It could also be irony, but there's no irony in Nick's statement, see? So that's where, and when someone like Rollo Tomasi plays this clip of Nick and starts laughing with his buddy boys, you know, oh yeah, genocide, schmimocide. They don't engage with the surface of truth. They don't engage with the first layer. They don't engage with the second layer of Nick Fuentes, which is the meta-ironic layer. Where are they stuck, these low IQ Rollo Tomasi co-hosts? They are stuck in irony. They are stuck in the shadow that was created by the meta-ironic statement of Nick Fuentes. That is so important, because when you set a trap in trolling strategy, when you set a trap that you know someone has to fall in, you have to be at a layer where you can deny being at that layer. You can also say, I was just making a statement of truth. But you're making that meta-ironic statement to catch the weak brains around, the Rollo Tomasis of this world. You want to induce them to commit an error. That's how you trap socially on the social media. That's how you set your trap as a hunter to catch a good animal. And that was beautifully done by Nick Fuentes. So I'll be giving a course on all these concepts. It will be in French, but I wanted to deliver it to you in a summary form. Basically, you set your trap. People note the absence of irony. Some of them find this funny. Some of them, they can't help but fall in the trap of doing the irony that should be there but isn't there. Just like the person who would hide the shadow of snow below a tree would want to spread the snow equally, would want to fill the layer that wasn't filled by you. Or someone who would want to make a shadow disappear in studio, what do we do? Well, the technicals, you know, in studio. If I have a light there, it will light here and I will have a shadow on this part of the face. So I need another light here to complete the shadow. The low-level brains of the internet will systematically try to complete the ironic layer that they think you forgot, but they got trapped. You've never said you were stating ironically, nor meta-ironically. You were just engaging on the truth. And what did you do in this whole process? You've succeeded at bringing the attention of human cognitions of all forms, of all levels of intelligence to the truth. Because then you've initiated a debate on, is it true that Stalin, you know, didn't commit the genocide in Ukraine intentionally? That's a valid question. Dino Lugovic says, JF living in the wilderness has sharpened his trapping skills. Exactly. And I will deliver it to Mathieu this Sunday. Oh my God, YouTube TV raises subscription to $72.99. Never. I will never pay this amount, YouTube. The base subscription will cost $8 more a month, but the 4K add-on is going from $19.99 a month to $9.99 a month. Apparently, it was already $64.99. Bro. You are paying for YouTube? You guys are paying for YouTube? What the fuck are you doing? This is the price of cable TV. You can have all these videos for free. Well, I'm paying for the premium service. Okay. Philosoraptor says, Jeff, what do you think about Nick Fuentes' argument? Well, I've never researched in depth the Holodomor, so I think it's interesting. I think these ideas should be discussed. Because I've, you know, in the right, a lot of people want you to talk about the Holodomor. And I can take the example sometimes, but very rarely will I make it a centerpiece of my arguments. First, because I don't know much about it. And second, because, you know, if historically this happened, what does this mean for today? Well, The one beautiful implementation of this argument was in the form of a question to Jordan Peterson, which is, if the Holodomor did happen as described, isn't it possible that racial hatred in the modern time, a similar form of racial hatred, could lead to similar outcomes, that is, the intentional destruction of a society and its capacity to self-sustain to the point of people dying from famine and hunger? That was an interesting question to Jordan Peterson, but Jordan Peterson knew the trap that was set for him. And the only thing that he could do is fall at least in a part of the trap and say, I can't do it. So that was a beautiful play on the Holodomor, basically. My arguments rarely rely on the Holodomor because they require, that kind of argument requires some kind of historical continuity. You would have to say, well, people then racially were acting in a certain way. Perhaps this racial behavior still exists today. You have to lay too many bases for me to take that kind of argument, in a serious debate, because in a serious debate where you have a Jordan Peterson that can fight back, that can do it, you would have a long discussions in the weed about, do races even preserve their behavior across the years? I would argue that, there are some racial hatreds, forms of racial hatreds that survive intergenerationally for sure. Definitely when I see the mediatic class in the US just hating onto Russia in this kind of irrational way, you can see that something has survived out of their anti-Russian sentiment. But still, it's a long argument to make. Lendalt Guntram says, when Stalin was approached by some lower-level apparatchik, actual witness in his service, about people dying from hunger in Ukraine, he pretty much said that nothing like that was taking place, so he was the original troll from hell. Of course, he knew what he was doing and what was taking place. Maybe. Blanket says, Jeff, do you think Odyssey will ever be more popular than YouTube? I hope so. Maybe there is a day in the future where YouTube completely crashes, but it won't happen as long as YouTube doesn't crash. But perhaps there is a day in the future in which YouTube is just seen as an outdated outlet, and maybe too much restrictions on speech, too much promotion of mainline creators as opposed to independent creators and smaller ones. And perhaps that day Odyssey rises. But let us not forget what happened to the internet. As you saw the YouTube counts grow, the YouTube base was a different base than the one that existed 10 years before. So back in 2007 to 2014, the YouTube base was formed by people like me and people like you. The normies, they were out of the internet. They weren't on YouTube. They were on their cable TV, remote shifting through the various stations and channels they have. That was the state of it. As the internet grew, we, the artists of the internet, were still on there. But we got over a flood by 10 times, 20 times our numbers. And so please understand something. A video that had 500,000 views in Sargon of Akkad's YouTube channel back in the days, there were 500,000 views from people that are fundamentally different from the people who today would fill a video with 500,000 views. That is so important because we have a sense of loss. Dissident thinkers, dissident creators, call it whatever you like, the dissident right or other forms of ideological resistance, there is often a sense of loss that the world has changed. But let us not forget the reality. We are still around each other. We are still the very same artists of the internet that were there, that opened Twitter accounts in 2010, 2011, that opened YouTube account that were streaming on the first days of YouTube live stream ability, all of us are still there. We just represent a very small relative fraction of the internet now that the normies have moved in. So all of this to tell you, will YouTube crash? Well, maybe they will forever gather the next boomer, you know, the next boomer audience, the 40 years so old who they're not autistic enough to pursue alternative platforms, to have different takes. And perhaps YouTube will forever live. But never forget that YouTube is a carcass being recycled by snails of the ocean that are not the snails of the oceans who have built that carcass to begin with. Big banks agree to historical $30 billion unsecured deposit injection in First Republic Bank, Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and other banks will make uninsured deposits totaling $30 billion in First Republic Bank. Action by the largest U.S. banks reflects their confidence in the country's banking system and helps ensure First Republic has the liquidity to continue serving its customers. So basically injections of money, but laterally from other parts of the system that happen to be in a better position. Now, when they say uninsured, it's legally uninsured, but I'm sure that it's politically insured in some way. I'm sure that these banks were told by Biden, we won't let the system fall, and you will be made whole if that ever comes to be a problem. The banking system has strong credit, plenty of liquidity, strong capital, and strong profitability. Recent events did not change this. John Drake says the $30 billion will be insured from the other side. Exactly. I'm pretty sure that this is not a $30 billion that will just disappear as if it was thrown out the window. Clearly, they had the political insurance that if you can help us on this mess, we're going to make sure that you are made whole at the end if it goes bad. Anthony Cumia says, this tweet is still up. They don't even care. They just let the lie continue even after it's been proven to be a lie. Look at this. You know, this is a bunch of people who supposedly were totally opposed to misinformation. There's still a Joe Biden tweet out there saying what happened today to Jussie Smollett must never be tolerated in this country. We must stand and demand that we no longer give this hate safe harbor, that homophobia and racism have no place in our streets or in our hearts. We are with you, Jussie. What the fuck? Perpetuating a hate hoax still on Twitter, and the two guys who made this hate hoax, the two guys are freaking hilarious. Although it was horrible what they've done. What they've done is blood libel. They've basically set up a situation so that it would look like a bunch of Trump supporters, white people, would have attacked Jussie Smollett. But I find it amazing how candid they are. They are on Fox Nation describing the whole thing. So now we know exactly what happened. They were coached. They were told to do exactly this. And all of this by Jussie Smollett.
They took our beautiful bench. This is where we waited for Jussie to come before we attacked them. So we got here with 10 minutes to spare, and we had to plan our escape route to survey the land. His building is actually right here, right above the stairs that we're going to attack him at. We made sure we got there at 2 a.m. sharp.
On the dot.
On the dot. We had no phones because he did.
On the dot. Oh, God.
Not want us to bring any phones. He said, so we don't lose them. I don't know if that's really the reason, but.
Okay, he didn't want them to bring any phone because he didn't want them to be traceable.
You can deduce your own reason. So 2 a.m., he was nowhere to be found. He was not there. So we were like, damn, what do we do? We didn't have no way of contacting him. He had no way of contacting.
So now they have no phone, and he's not showing up at the time that was scheduled for the fight. And they have no phone, so they can contact him.
And us. So we waited here for about, what, four minutes?
It was about four minutes. But it felt like forever.
Because it was cold as balls.
And see, this is what I'm saying. Cold will protect you in the end. Move north. This is so important. Cold almost messed up their plan because they, and we're talking about the cold of Chicago here. We're talking about 20 degrees Celsius warmer, 30 degrees Celsius warmer than where we are at, me and Mama JF. The cold was hard to endure for the Nigerians who almost returned home.
So I saw him out the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay, that's him. Let's go. We gotta go get this empire. Yeah, that's him. That's him. Is that him?
That's that nigga.
You're supposed to incarnate a character of a white supremacist. Do you really think that white supremacists are walking around like this with their shoulders deployed, walking like tough guys and saying, oh, it's this empire F word. That just doesn't work. This is so African. You are advancing like a tough African guy. This is not how white supremacist Trump supporters walk.
Stand there.
Yeah, stand there.
Oh, he's moving fast.
And they're calling him the N word to add to the hate environment.
Come on, let's get him.
Get that nigga.
Let's get him. As we cross the street, we say hey to get his attention.
Hey, Nick.
Hey. He turned around, looked at us, and that's when we started yelling the famous slurs he wanted us to yell. Hey.
Aren't you that empire?
Hey, empire fat Nick. It's MAGA country. Yeah. And then he said, what did you say to me?
A white supremacist would not say it's MAGA country. White supremacists pronounce it's with the IT apostrophe S. It's MAGA country. No one says this. No white person has ever said this.
And then that's when I threw the first punch at him. I held the blow because I didn't want to hurt him, of course. So I made it look real, but I held it. Then we started tussling, moving around, and then I threw him to the ground. He wanted it to look like he fought back. That was very important for him.
And Jussie Smollett, hours after this, would be on national TV saying, I fought the fuck back. What I found most important is I fought back. I fought the fuck back. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, Jussie Smollett's grandmother is Jewish and invoked the Holocaust in his defense. Okay, interesting clip. I'll load it here. But let's continue listening to the description of the events here.
Because he said, hey, don't just beat my ass. Make it look like I'm fighting back and whatnot. So we did that. And then I threw him to the ground. And while after I threw him to the ground, he had no bruise. I wanted it to look more real. So then I threw him to the ground. After I threw him to the ground, I used my knuckle and gave him a noogie. So I went like this. Why did I do that?
Oh, my God. The minimal way to create an injury-like structure.
Give him a scar, to give him a mark, to make it look real.
And there you go. This is the effect of frotting your knuckle onto the jowl of someone. This is fucking hilarious.
Like, he really did get his ass beat. After I did that, I fake kicked him. I don't know what he was doing. I wasn't paying attention.
That's where I came around with the bleach, the infamous bleach in the hot sauce bottle, poured it on his shirt. Then I finally put the rope around his face. I did not put it around his neck. I just placed it on his face, and that's when we took off.
What's with the action music? I love that they've put a spy, like spy political hoax type of music. Da-da-da. Oh my God, these guys are hilarious. What can we say here? They failed. It was a ridiculous plan. It was a plan that was designed, holy shit, with no consideration of the exaggerations, where even the young Turks, Cenk, said that the first time he was exposed to the story, he said, there's too many bells here, too many red flags here. A bottle of bleach mixed with hot sauce? What the fuck is the goal of this? Rudy Lisson says, are they being paid for this or do they receive a lesser sentence for confessing it all? Well, I don't think that they are sued because they didn't make a false report to the police. They just were hired as actors in a theatrical display on the public space. So I don't know that they were ever found guilty of a crime. I would have to check. Because the best they could be found guilty of is some kind of conspiracy with Jesse. But what they can always argue is, well, he hired us as actors. He wanted us to act in front of the cameras. We didn't know that he was going to make false police reports with this. We thought it was some kind of artistic project. And we are actors, so we were willing to do it. Now, do they get paid? Probably on Fox Nation, they probably gave them a couple thousands to make that demonstration in front of the camera, and they made a couple thousands from Jesse back in the day. So overall, these two Nigerian guys with their Nigerian scam end up in the green of a couple thousand bucks and a newfound celebrity. Well, you know, this just shows the narcissism, the absolute narcissism of Jesse Smollett, that he could think that he could pull this onto the public space and somehow people... And he went through days of it and eventually months of lying about it. And as far as I know, still as of today, even if he's been found guilty and given something like 600 or 800 hours of community work or whatever that is, I don't know that he's acknowledged any wrongdoing. I think he's still saying, yeah, I was truly attacked by white supremacists.
Molly Smollett, I just heard the name.
Let's listen.
From New York, where I was a film editor. I am the proud grandmother of Jesse and his siblings. I felt compelled to come and tell you that the Jesse I know and love does not match up with the media's betrayal of him. And I'm talking to you guys. You haven't done a good job on investigative reporting. I've worked on documentaries. I know what it is. I've gone through the McCarthy period.
She knows the documentary business.
I marched with Martin Luther King and marched out Washington.
She marched with Martin Luther King and she reproduced with a black man.
I'm here now. And so you got to do better. I challenge you to do more investigative reporting. Jesse himself, as you have heard from the testimonials, is a very gentle, kind, and generous young man, and his empathy is infinite, which translates in giving of himself. Jesse has always been active in the pressing issues facing our communities, such as HIV, AIDS, voting rights, and other urgent social problems in America.
Well, he just created a problem that didn't exist, so you might want to review your assessment of him.
On Christmas, he went to Flint, Michigan to entertain children who were living with lead poisoning from their drinking water. What the media may not know is that Jesse is...
Well, lead poisoning children, you can't go any better than this. No one wants to make a bad joke about lead-poisoned children.
What I call a justice warrior. He has been active against injustice all his life, as his mother has, who is an incredible rock for her children. And as my son, their father, who sadly passed away from cancer 7 years ago, only in his 50s. And I know in my heart that my son, Jesse's father, would have wanted me to come here to tell you who the real Jesse is. I also have fought against injustice forever, and I feel it's in our DNA. I attribute this to being Jewish and the persecution of my ancestors. The Hebrew words tikkun olam means to repair the world, and that's what I do.
Well, you can't repair the world by trashing another race for actions they haven't committed. That might give you a clue about a problem in the behavior here, rather than praising that behavior of Jussie.
And that's what Jussie does. I will end by saying that Jussie...
That's what Jussie does. See? They don't have it in their head that it's wrong what he did. No, he was doing what our genes are telling us to do. It's what we've been doing to survive. We improve and fix the world. The world needed a bunch of white supremacists to attack Jussie Smollett, and that's what he did. It's amazing. They don't have a conception that, hey, maybe it's wrong to recruit the mechanisms of society. Like, you've cost millions of dollars for the Chicago police to do all their investigation. They had to review tens of thousands of video to the point where they can trace back the moment someone bought the news for him. I think it was one of the two black guys. He had them buy the kit to look like a Trump supporter, including a fucking noose.
He is loved and respected by all who know him. And I ask you, the judge, not to send him to prison. If you do, send me along with him, okay? And I thank you for letting me talk. Thank you so much.
That is a ridiculous request. I would have sent her to jail with him.
Thank you all. It's nice to be in Chicago.
She packed.
Well. So interesting. It's amazing because the left never came to grips with this, that to even recognize that it was wrong. I see just the right talking about this event. As far as the left is concerned, they have left their tweets up. They haven't talked about it since it's been exposed. And so the left is deeply agreeing with what Jussie Smollett has done. They won't stand on a principle here and tell you, well, okay, well, this guy was wrong. He did wrong. They won't even say this. Even his grandmother would stand by his side saying he's just been doing what we have been doing. We have to have stories of persecution to fix the world, because as long as we don't have these stories, the world will become more persecuting of us. So that is kind of a defensive first strike of racial defense that we're seeing being deployed here. It's like, okay, you haven't committed an aggression, but we're going to invent it so that we can take over your political beliefs, take over your political society, and display an image of you, white people and Trump supporter, that sucks. Absolutely disgusting. It's something that should be much more covered. It's a thing that I see covered merely in the right-wing media. It should be much more covered than this. Alex says, breaking, GOP oversight releases bank records showing that Biden family associate Rob Walker used his company to transfer from a Chinese energy company to Hunter Biden, James Biden, Halle Biden, and a fourth unknown Biden. And I said to this unknown Biden, that sounds to me like the big guy. That sounds like it's the big guy. Grapes Coda says, what's up with the show schedule? I don't know what's up. There was a change of time in the hour shifted last Sunday. So, and sometimes we get that shift in America and you get it later in Europe. So maybe that's what it is. Daylight saving time. I'm an American, sir. Have you seen these flags in the back? FedEx soars after boosting earnings forecast amid aggressive cut-cutting. Okay, a little jump up here for FedEx from 200 to 223. Okay, that's interesting. They've been cutting their cost. I mean, it's a painful thing to maintain these companies. They have to have networks. I was almost feeling ashamed when I was ordering stuff. Like, I've been ordering all sorts of phones and burner tablets and crypto stuff. And every time FedEx was sending a human deliverer, and I was like, I'm paying maybe $5. Maybe they got a $5 margin for some. How do you get a human being to me for $5 within 24 hours. They were super speedy. Like, he has to pay the gasoline of his car. How does that work? In principle, it works when there's high volume and the guy is spending his gasoline to go deliver a lot of deliveries. But I was feeling bad because in the distant civilization where me and Mama JF live, the guy comes with a car and he doesn't seem to have a lot of packages. He seems like, okay, here I am. I've been forced here by FedEx. I took my personal car to get here. I want you to sign on this little machine. In any case, they seem to be doing good on the stock market because they have cut on expenses. Maybe that's what they did. Maybe they don't use these FedEx trucks so much anymore with the cost of gasoline. Maybe they told their employees, we're going to pay you a fixed fee for the use of your car. I think that's good. I think just hosting these huge reserves of FedEx truck must be pretty demanding in the current market. With the current gas prices and everything, they have to find alternative solutions. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, is it possible that the anti-natalist proclivities of the left is simply caused by a philosophical or psychological prior of individualism, but one of a different perception than that held by the right? Well, I don't tend to look at it that way. I don't think it's a particularly productive thing to do to say individualism is what drives problems in society. Because I think that the alternative to individualisms are too unspecified. And to critique individualism is to... It's like, what is the alternative to individualism? Well, you could have a conservative, socially conservative family view where, okay, I'm not the important individual. I care about my children. I care about my wife. Okay, good. But then the left will take the anti-individualist position and will extend it to, well, no, we care about the community. And your children are not raised by you. They're raised by the community. And it takes a village to raise a child. So the problem with these anti-individualist critiques is that first, there's nothing wrong with individualism. It's not individualism that's wrong when people end up making bad decisions for selfish reasons. Second, selfishness in a capitalist nation is what drives the advancement of the nation. And selfishness is absolutely important to preserve the link between our economic system and our biological reality. So I don't like critiques of individualism. I think it's not the right attack. If you were to say what is the psychological motivating factor of the left that makes them take the wrong way and takes them the way of anti-natalism, I would say it's much more hedonism and harm considerations. So this obsession with victim culture and, oh, they are harmed, we have to stop the harm of society, that is an absolute misfire of the left's psychological structure. So they want to save everyone from oppression, so much so that they will imagine a girl that exists in the body of a boy, but that needs to be liberated from that body. You see, That is a big psychological root of leftism. This whole, I have to protect people from harm. We have to make a society that doesn't harm. And in the making of this society that doesn't harm, you end up committing more harms. And the second psychological root of the left is hedonism, which I think is what really is criticized by people who take issue with individualism. When people say, oh, individualism is wrong, what they really mean is individual decisions that are pursuing hedonism at the cost of everything, including your own biological reproduction, is what's wrong. But that is just one aspect of individualism. Individualism is also what allows a man to own a home, own a land, make the decisions in his life that will be rewarding for him until he can accomplish what he wants and have a family. That is individualism. Individualism is also the individual care that a man can feel for maintaining his family and being a provider for his family. So individualism does not imply a separation from any considerations of other human beings. To the contrary, I'm an individualist, but almost all of my life is motivated by others, but not any other, not JF, here is a random African, please save him and dig a well for him. I'm an individualist, and as an individualist, I choose to pursue the things that pay off so that I can provide and care for a family. That is the right way to see individualism, and I don't think anyone should criticize individualism as a whole. You should distinguish. There's forms of individualism, specifically the delusion of hedonism and sexual hedonism, that will drive you in the wrong direction. T.S. Apostolos says, mimesis drives problems. No such thing as an individual. We are inter-individual. Our thoughts and desires are shaped by those around us. That doesn't mean there's no individual. It's like a car. You know, a car wouldn't work if there was no oxygen around it. Like, the car needs oxygen to burn the fuel. So are you going to say, well, there's no car? No, there's no car. There's no such thing as a car. But there is such a thing as a car. It lives in an environment. The environment has causal influence on the functioning of the car. That's it. Like, why do we have to deny concepts that are absolutely true and useful? That is so annoying to me that when people do this. It's like, oh, well, the car relies on oxygen, so there's no car. It's really an oxygen car system. It's atoms of steel consuming oxygen, and ultimately it's the whole planet Earth, and yeah, ultimately it's the whole universe, because the car wouldn't be there if it wasn't of the sun, and we're all sun powder. Like, this is the point at which thinking is a disservice to you. Stop thinking. Fed balance sheet explodes by $300 billion as bank bailouts lead to record discount window surge. Earlier today, we said that with Wall Street freaking out over the latest bank crisis, everyone's attention would be focused on today's update from the Fed. And the update mentioned a record $148 billion weekly jump to an all-time high, which surpassed even the borrowings during the financial crisis. So the Fed won't like it. At just $11.9 billion, this was a very small amount, as banks clearly fear the stigma associated with the BTFP program even more than they loathe the discount window. Discount window borrowing. So I guess that's just a way to put money at a discount, to offer incentives to increase liquidity in the system. The Fed also revealed that $142.8 billion in reserves were released by other credit extensions. So yes, they are expanding credit. They're expanding the flow of money into the system. All right, not surprising. This is what the Fed does. But at the same time, it's a contrary policy to what they claim to be doing, which is fighting inflation right now. So it would seem, and I think Zero Hedge commented on this in another article, it would seem that quantitative tightening is over. We are entering an era of Fed expansion, Fed liquidity, and perhaps even quantitative easing at some point. So money printing, basically. John Drake says, First Republic Bank is tanking in after-hours trading, down 17%. The promise of $30 billion hasn't had the desired effect. We'll see. You know, the question of bank stocks is independent to some extent on the question of liquidity and bank survival. It's tied because ultimately banks that have stocks that do well will have a need to sell some of their stocks. But ultimately, the bank could be functional while having still bad market reactions for a couple of months on the stock market. End of the line, Joel says, are there any new unbannings on the Twitter thread? Yes, there was a handful of them, but I haven't updated because I've been busy in life. So I haven't updated, but I'll go back to it and check. But I remember there were three or four. Some of the smaller accounts had been liberated when Elon went into his spree of unbanning everyone, like amnesty. I don't know that full amnesty has been achieved, but I saw some of the smaller accounts getting unbanned. As bank crisis looms, Biden's aggressive focus on firearms is suspicious. Somehow Biden tried to bring back the ban assault weapons meme in a time where it doesn't seem very relevant. We are at the verge of a massive economic crisis or not economic crisis, depending on the amount of Fed intervention. In any case, it's bad. Not really the time to think about weapon legislation, which anyway you don't control enough to fundamentally alter some Second Amendment protected rights, Biden. Jason Akinaka was telling a very sad story about his personal life. I don't know who that guy is, but I just read his story and I was moved on Twitter. He had a baby named Eve. She has a condition named ALG14-CDG, which is a problem in the production of proteins in her cells. The doctors told them that she would die within her first year. They are going through the suffering with her. She has seizures. She has spasm. She had moments where there was fluid accumulating in her lungs and mouth, and they had to suck it out with oral suction. Epilepsy, arms of development, and he says she might very well die within the next few weeks or months. They feel that her death is close. So it's so sad to think that the pleasure of being a parent is sometimes wasted, sometimes affected by these diseases. In this case, the two parents were the bearer of a recessive gene, and when taken together, they had 25% chance of giving birth to a baby like this, and they weren't lucky. So that is what it is. But he was telling that he experiences feelings that she is an angel and that she is so perfect. And hopefully they use this experience to make more babies. You know, life gives you odds. Life gives you odds. And any baby you make in the future, you're going to have 75% chance that they don't get this. And now that you know, you can actually test in advance. So, you know, it's good odds. You know, you should not let yourself be depressed by such experience and just keep producing babies. And happiness will come to you. Blanket says, Jeff, what is one of your favorite things about Minds? I think that Minds is a very, it's to be respected as an entity. I think it's underappreciated as a stand of the alt tech sector. Because Minds, you know, talk about the freedom on Gab, sure. But Minds, they have worked strong to be technological leaders. And you can see that their site is well made and that they work hard to decentralize. They work hard to port toward Noster. So here's a bunch of, you know, when I go to Minds, I feel that we are in the culture of the original internet. I don't really feel this at Gab that much. Gab is a website axed on freedom of speech. That is fine. That is great. We need this. But in terms of developing new capacities, I don't feel that they are as much on the edge as Minds is. We spoke to the Minds guy. That was our last guest on this show, Bill Ottman. What an amazing guy. And they are leaders in a way that it really doesn't matter in the end if Minds ends up being the main social network. Just the fact that they're doing these things, it puts pressure on the other guys to be as technologically advanced as Minds. Like, on Minds, which is a much smaller budget than Twitter, on Minds, I can create a Noster key. I can port my content to Noster, so I'm fully decentralized. I can aramet my Minds account to transfer decentralized coins on the ETH blockchain. Like, holy shit, Elon Musk, what are you doing? So I think that Minds plays an important role in being the thinkers, the leaders, and at the edge of social media development. And that's why I want it to be as successful as possible. It's been amazing. Their Minds token is having wild variations, but it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's measuring the state of interest on the economy of the web, and it's a measure of, like, you take a Minds token because you would want to buy 1,000 impressions on Minds. Or you take a Minds super token because you want an intellectual to give you an answer to a given question. It's beautiful, and it's very well made, decentralized contract. Forex Shark says, I agree, Minds is cool. Absolutely, absolutely cool. Now, I wish I would spend more time on there, but the fact is, it's still a too small website to give me a return on investment that's as good as my time invested on Twitter. The reality is, if I spend a full day on Minds, I don't sell a single book. If I spend my whole day on Twitter, I sell probably 5 or 10 books just out of just little replies. Like, we're not even talking about mimetic tweets and big, just being on Twitter on my phone. I sell 5 to 10 books more if I do it one day or if I don't. That is just an access to an audience that I can't get on mine. So that is sad, but this is the business. This is the economics of it. Eventually, perhaps, there will be a place for Minds to be fully rewarded for the height of their innovation edge. For now, it has not happened. Forex Shark says, it's good to see Minds bringing utility to DeFi. Exactly. Friend of Gandalf has sent $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, lengthy comment incoming. Please read at your discretion. All right, I'll be... Okay, and there it is. Generally, when faced with the argument that men are the main case of female mortality, I reply with the argument that weather, animals, disease, and a lack of nutrition are actually the main cause of female mortality. And male intervention into minimizing these hazards is the only reason that any women are alive. Every time I've lost my job for this type of argument, with HR listing the firing as a consequence of cultural differences. Well, that is sad. That is sad. But yeah, that is the kind of statement that will get you in trouble in the corporate world, which is why I never work in the corporate world. Last week, during the International Women's Day presentation that was given at my job, I kept my mouth shut. I'm done trying to be a hero. No, it's totally the attitude to have. You don't have to make yourself the target of hate because the fucking world needs someone to tell them the truth. You don't have to be that guy. You know, there's a lot of influencers. Influencers like me, that's our job. We're taking all of the bad hits, okay? We are there standing for ideas that you may not be able to express. And it's not true that it is everyone's responsibility to do it. There is such a thing in human society as the division of labor. And I'm very serious about this. This is not a meme. I'm not joking. I think that we have to see the kind of stuff I do, and other creators don't seem to be kind of aware of this. They should be more aware of it. What we do is a job. We have a division of labor in society such that the guy who knows very well how to screw the screw on a Hyundai accent, this guy is going to be screwing the screw on all the Hyundai accent. That's all he's going to do. And by doing so, he's going to be saving us risks, because if I was to try to screw the screw, the car might fall onto my head and I might die. This guy knows. He knows everything about his job. He knows everything about how to screw the screw the most efficient way. And that's good. That's good. Now, the same thing is true of taking the social hits for telling the truth. You don't have to be that guy. It's fun to be that guy. I love being that guy. But we don't need 1 million people saying the truth. At best, we need 1 million people knowing the truth. That is enough. We can be a sleeping agent in society, sympathetic to certain views, and no, you don't have to lose your job for going after a principled feminist point. The fact is that interaction with society, dependence on society in any way for employment, bars you from engaging in most of the truthful discussions we engage on this show. So in a way, what I'm telling you is don't try this at home. You don't have to. It serves nothing. It will only destroy you. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a provocative personality that you might want to use at some points. Like if you're in a family dinner, you know, it's relatively safe and you're kind of annoyed by, I don't know, your cousins or your wife's position that as a white male, you shouldn't speak on this or that. Maybe you can come at her for once. But don't do it in a circumstance where things are held over your head. It's not worth it. They're going to exclude you from the system and you're going to be in much more trouble than me. Because when I do that as a professional, I'm like a stunt artist. I'm fully equipped. You just don't know. I have my paddings. I have my headgear and I know how to do it. And I know mostly how to prepare myself so that the hits coming will not hurt me. But that is a fundamental change you would have to do in your life for you to do this. Like for you to do this, you would need to be wealthily independent. You would need to have your wealth in bitcoins and other blockchain. You would need to not need a job for the rest of your life, including providing for a family, including property, assets. You have to be set so that people can't come at you through various legal means. It's like, it's a fucking job, man. And don't ever mistake this for, I'm just on the internet saying my views. This is the path of YouTube failure. I just wanted to express my views. Hey, JF, have you seen my video about my views? No. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. The public space, speaking on the public space, is not about expressing your emotions or how you feel or even how you think things are. It's about standing for other people. It's like the meme of the father in front of the child just covering the child and the father receives the knife sit on the back. That is what public speaking is. And don't do it. Most of the time, it's not worth it. And if you do it, you have to make the full jump. There's no coming back. And only in particular situations of your life, and I happen to have been in those particular situations where you have nothing to lose, you have no way they can get at you, they've been raping you onto the ground and dragging you into the mud so much that you're like, all right, they want me to go full. I will go full. They want me to go full frontal. I don't give a shit. They've hurt me enough at this point. I'm the guy with nothing to lose. They're going to have to kill me. That is the only way you can do public speaking, honestly. Dino Logovic says, I am not all bravado. What JF says is correct. No point ruining things for no good reason, but I am too old and do not care anymore. Absolutely. Naberius sends $25, he says, for taking the hits. Well, thank you so much. I'll be back in 10 seconds. All right. This is a beautiful quote. It's attributed to Richard Feynman. I don't know if it's from him for real. Sometimes people put these fake quotes. He says, knowledge is not free. You have to pay attention. Isn't that the central problem of good informational sharing, of having proper networks of truth finding and truth communication in the world? Knowledge is not free. You have to pay attention. And because you have to pay attention, there will be parasitic forces out there, and they will recruit this attention to send you toward non-truth. Gatekeepers, liars, defamers. They will try to, I got your attention. Hoop, here's a red herring. And a true method of truth finding that is socially valid, that works to spread truth in civilization, I don't think is something we've achieved at all. I think we've failed on every aspect of this. And so we find ourselves with ideological bubbles, people presupposing stuff, having beliefs that fit their circle jerk. And they almost took over the entire internet. Now we got Twitter back. But knowledge is not free. You have to pay attention. That's the deep reason why we never get to knowledge, really. By the way, Nat on Discord has shared his discussion with ChatGPT-4. People are talking about 4D chess. That has nothing to do with ChatGPT-4. But it made me think about ChatGPT-4. And guess what? ChatGPT-3 was not woke on the revolutionary phenotype. ChatGPT-4, as Nat says, knows all about it. Unfortunately, you have to pay OpenAI a $20 subscription per month to discuss with ChatGPT-4. I don't know that I want to pay this. I don't know that I want to throw money at a non-ethical endeavor, which is ultimately these bots made to censor, these bots made to fool, these bots made to deceive. I don't know if I have the $20. I don't want to do it. But I saw screenshots. You can basically discuss with ChatGPT-4 and say, hey, what's the revolutionary phenotype? And he's like, oh yeah, it's a theory about layers of the genetic code having emerged from the process of the theory of phenotypic revolutions. You can even ask it about trickster printers. And, you know, the concepts in the book, and it knows about it enough. That is super cool. I love that having been updated, ChatGPT-4 is absolutely based on the revolutionary phenotype. Any buyer of Signature Bank must agree to give up all the crypto business at the bank, the two sources added. This is an important thing here happening. Because you have these banks failing, you have the government causing their failure further by just taking over and invalidating them. And then the government wants to bar crypto. They don't want any project with these banks involving crypto. And first, the crash of this bank is not due to crypto at all. If this bank had been a crypto bank with crypto reserves, it would have zero problem because all of the reserves would be accessible. It wouldn't be fractional reserves. The problem of this bank was the non-crypto side. It was the basic policy of banks to have fractional reserves, and they got caught. But now you have the government using their power to make sure that these bad developments for them first are scapegoated onto crypto, and second, that their recuperation effort of these banks doesn't lead to further crypto exodus. Because ultimately, in the long term, in the decades that come, the question is, will banks even exist at all? Will banks be able to survive the crypto exodus? Because the crypto exodus has happened for you and I for 10 years now. What happens when the normies, want out of the banking system? What happens when they all operate on Lightning Network and BTC and ETH? Of course, the people who control the normal, regular financial world don't want this to happen. Deadstar says BTC is going to 250K with all this bullshit. Yes, I'm so happy. I got all my crypto already. I'm like, all right, let's just wait. Let the ingredients marinate for 24 hours. What? 24 hours? Are you kidding me? I want it to happen now. Well, I don't mind. I want a good steak. I'm going to let it marinate for 24 hours, which in the crypto world means 1 year or two. I mean, in 1 year or two, it's going to be fantastic. There is no other outcome possible than the rise, a massive meteoric rise again of the crypto world. And the bear market hasn't even been hard. We've been laughing our ass off here, chilling. And it's like, oh yeah, like these banks are falling. These normies are losing their jobs. And the tech sector is like, oh, please send free money. We can't make money with our business. And we've been chilling here. I was writing Bitcoin inscriptions, you know. Okay, let's write on the blockchain, you know, some $5 fee. Okay, $2 fee. Okay. I'm here with my greenhouse waiting for the next bull run. And it's like, oh, it's already here. These fucking idiots are making it happen faster and higher than ever. I'm laughing my ass off. This is fucking hilarious. And I got banned from social media. And it wasn't even hard. I'm already back. Elon has bought Twitter. You guys are so annoying. You guys are so... with your little controls and your little, I need to drive to my job at the bank. You guys have crashed. Your entire system has crashed. And mine is rising. Now what you gonna do? John says, I own no BTC, but I'm nearly as excited as JF about the venture. Lol. I mean, yeah, it's fucking hilarious how these people control the world. And all it took to remove it from their grasp is a fucking blockchain. Like it's a 50 gig database of arbitrary A25256667A2DE. This fucked them up in the ass, and I love it. I don't love anal sex, to be clear. P21, a potent cyclin-dependent kinase inhibitor. Someone was writing to me. They were writing to me on Twitter. They were like, JF, you need to make a show about P21. I'd like to hear about it. I will send you a donation. My answer to you is, I won't make a show about this. I don't know enough about this. That wouldn't be worth your donation. But I Googled it, P21. So... a cyclin-dependent kinase inhibitor. People use it as a nootropic peptide. So basically, nootropics are these people who are trying to improve their body and cognition. And it's known in the mice to improve the production of BDNF, which is the brain-derived neurofactor, whatever. And BDNF, I mean, I've been knowing about BDNF from my PhD days in neuroscience. BDNF is this kind of general molecule that just makes your brain more growth, more neurons, more connections, more. I would be careful with this, guys. And that's also why I don't want to make a show about this. I will never recommend nootropic use. I don't think it's particularly interesting. you don't know. More connections isn't necessarily good. You don't know what you're going to cause with these things. You don't know if you recommend this to 10,000 people, what is going to be the outcome for each of them? Maybe some of them will have some improvement. Maybe some of them will not. Maybe some of them will become totally sick because of it. So I don't like these improve yourself techniques. The fact is, evolution always improved you and made you what you were. And that's the best that you can be. And don't take supplements. That's my view. I mean, take them if you like, but my view is don't take supplements. Nature gave you everything you needed. If nature needed more BDNF, it would have happened like within generations. Not a problem at all for nature to produce more BDNF in your body. There's a reason it stopped there. You see, nature has decided this is the level of BDNF that they need. More than this, not interesting. Dino Lugovich says, ATP, the messenger molecule, is a book I read over 20 years ago regarding brain and cell function. Okay. Big banks agree to okay, this one I read before. So injections of money. In this case, it's a lateral transfer, but eventually I think it will boil down to top-down injections of credit and money. U.S. is now weighing the benefit of drone intel against the risks of escalation with Russia. So, you know, the U.S. was sending drones around Ukraine, Russia territory. I've seen the video. I don't know if I have it. No, I lost it, but I had the video of the jet fuel. It does seem from the video that there's a credible view that the Russian jet intentionally came, dropped a large cloud of fuel around, but mostly in front of the drone. And yeah, I mean, it's a country defending itself because you're doing these kinds of passive-aggressive pro-Ukraine intel operations. Of course, they don't want your drone. You're going to use this drone information to send missiles from Ukraine to Russia. So personally, as far as I'm concerned, I would have shot your fucking drone. Now, the U.S. is now reconsidering, saying, should we have drones at all? Well, of course, they do this because they are doing this proxy war. They are using the Ukrainian puppets to continue their domination in this region, which is totally misplaced. Speaker's Corner says, why would fuel down the drone? Well, we talked about this yesterday. People have various hypotheses. I don't understand, but apparently clogging the propellers, says Silver Spider, probably blinding the cameras, maybe having the thing not work anymore. Maybe the engines lack oxygen if they're surrounded by, you know, gasoline vapor or whatever that is. Dino Lugovich says to start a fire. Well, that would be the hypothesis if they had blown it after, but they didn't. They just dumped the fuel. So apparently it's a technique in the military. And John Drake says starve the engine of oxygen. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe if the engine can breathe, it can't go further. The United Nations has revealed that a large amount of natural uranium has gone missing in an undisclosed site in Libya that is not under governmental control. Well, that can't be good. I've said it. I've said it. Treat all nations as if one day they would have nuclear bombs, because they will. I mean, it's a matter of technological superiority that has led the Western nations to accumulate those, and some other nations too. But eventually it will be very easy. And now we have some unknown amount of uranium out there. Now, there's a lot of process to purify it so that it can make a bomb. But what I told Nick Fuentes, that was a debate I had with Nick Fuentes back in the days. I said, don't treat Muslim nations as you have the nuclear bomb, they don't. Because the hate that they will feel for what you're doing in the Middle East right now, and those were back in the days where I think that if you were to talk to Nick about this today, he might be less sympathetic to, you know, the American Empire and attacking Muslim nations. Because that was our debate. I don't know if any of you remember, but I was taking the stance that we should not attack Syria and other nations, I think. And he was taking the stand that, yeah, Trump, yeah, bomb these guys. And I told Nick Fuentes, you know, one day the nuclear bomb can be obtained by a single individual. That's just the nature of technological progression. One day you can blow a nuclear bomb in your backpack. At that day, do you want 80% of the world to hate America? I don't. I mean, I don't care because I live so far. No one will ever give them go through the trouble of blowing a nuclear bomb in my house, you know. But if you live in the city, you should be careful. Blanket says, Jeff, can we find that video on Odyssey? It was on Nick's channel, and there were so many YouTube deletions since then. I wouldn't be surprised that it's not available anymore. But yeah, it was a Syria debate with JF on Nick Fuentes' channel. If it's somewhere, it should be labeled as such. Naberius says, Nick told Keith Woods that the U.S. should still have a powerful military and to use it if it's in the people's interest. Well, I would like to have his full thought today on, are the Trump Syria strikes ultimately a manipulation by Israel, you know? Because he didn't seem to call it out then, but he seems to have understood a couple of things in this domain recently, you know? So I'd love to know his refreshed opinion. Dino Lugovich says, they can do it now, JF. They have briefcase bombs, 80 gone missing in the 90s. Yeah, I've heard about these briefcase bombs. But yeah, one day it's like so common that you can't even detect them. You can't even know out of the thousands that are out there which one is threatening you. Yeah. The liquidity phase of the bank crisis is over, but the solvency phase is getting worse. Yeah, so that's why these parallel movements of liquidity, ultimately, they don't solve the problem. It's basically a bet by the system that, oh, these idiot normies are not going to withdraw all their money from all the other banks. And they're right. They're right on this. That's why I think this is a bet. It's an insulting bet, but it's probably a correct bet. The normies, this so-called bank run was like underwhelming. And the normies are only capable of one thing. It's withdrawing their amount from one bank and going to the neighbor. So what do the banks do in response to this? Well, they're like, oh, we're gonna give you billions of dollars interbank transfers. So now you, the normie, are like, oh, Wells Fargo is falling. I'm going to withdraw my Wells Fargo money. I'm going to give it to this other bank. And now this other bank is like, all right, I got so much extra money. I'm going to send $30 billion for free to First Republic Bank. So they're going to be able to handle their liquidity crisis. And we're going to figure it out at the end. In the end. The normie is paying his bank fees. We're making money. We're surfing on gold. So it's all crap. There's no bank run happening other than the Bitcoin bank run. And that Bitcoin bank run is an intergenerational struggle, which in the next 100 years might very well lead to the abolishment of the concept of a bank. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what people should be aiming for. And don't buy this crap bank run psyop. It's crap. Blockchain. Oh, that was one of the conclusions by Fadam yesterday on the private hangout. If you still want to watch it, it's still available. You have to subscribe at the $20 level on Backed By or on Subscribestar to get the link. He ended up the private show by saying, I won't talk about the bank run because there's no bank run. It's crap. And I fully agree. I'm headed toward thinking it's more than crap. It's made up crap. We're faced with a psyop of having people believe that there's a bank run when there's none. And if there's such a psyop, it must be because they want to justify some big governmental intervention in the banking world. Either like just giving free money or something else, like making crypto making banks basically unable to trade crypto. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, regarding a potential future giant nuclear winter, I once read an article that suggested that if you want to survive, the only way to avoid the radioactive material in the moving atmospheres and sea is to live in Antarctica. So JF may have headed in the wrong direction. Well, I'm not super concerned about a massive planetary nuclear winter. I'm concerned about local quality of air. And, you know, if such an event happens, we can move also. I don't like moving. I'm not a nomadic type of guy. But if I have to move to survive, I'll do it. Nuclear winter and you know, nuclear bombs wasting the entire environment. Not sure it's one of my concerns. Dead Star says, I wasn't the donator, but I believe these advanced peptides are going to begin accomplishing incredible feats in the coming decade. Some of these peptide injections are already available, able to communicate with heart and lung cells and direct their repair. It's definitely a field worth keeping up to date. I'll believe it when I see it. That's my position. Blockchain Association seeks info from the Fed, FDIC, and OCC on debanking crypto firms. The association submitted a FIA request as part of an investigation into how regulators' actions improperly contributed to the collapse of three banks. So that's an interesting hypothesis, that somehow these banks were targeted for knockdown intentionally because they were too flirty with the crypto world. That is a valid hypothesis. I can see the American politicians, the lobbyist system, wanting these guys down and making everything they could so that it would happen. You don't need much to crash SVB. You need a well-connected corporation, a rumor mill, and well-connected politicians. You get your well-connected corporation to just withdraw arbitrary amounts of huge amounts of money. Send them to JP Morgan. Now you've already cut the liquidity of the bank. You spread some rumors in Israel and China about, oh yeah, you should take your money out of this bank, and rich people take it out. You have a couple of elite friends who can coordinate a withdrawal all at the same time. And then you have a bunch of politicians pressing their executive branch to, hey, check them, go at them. Go as fast as you can. We don't want this to be a bank run. There's a bank run. Stop it. Stop it. Take over. And all of this, if this information turns out to be correct, turns out to reveal that there's some form of coordination here, all of this could have been motivated by, well, those banks, I don't know that they were that. I've never heard of SVB being a crypto bank. But perhaps they were slowly studying, you know, deploying into the crypto sector. Perhaps they were starting to make Bitcoin too easily purchasable. And the politicians, the regular traditional financial system, they hate it when banks make it too easy. That's why they go after credit card companies. They want credit card companies to deny Bitcoin purchases. They want electronic transfers to be hard to make, and they block them when you buy Bitcoins with it. We are in a war here, and I'm worried. I'm worried that that all of this is made to make crypto less accessible to the people. That being said, I'm not worried about the long-term potential of crypto. Long-term, it will survive all these attacks. And we will conclude the show with a thought from Neil Murray. He says, I think conservatism is very much about place, rootedness. Traveling is so popular with people who often say they hate the right, but they also want to enjoy the culture in these places, ignorant that without conservatives, these places would meld into interchangeable mush. That is one of the sad thing with the metropolitan culture enjoyer. It's like you are a consumer, you are a parasite of another system that maintains culture, that makes it exist. And that system must be intergenerationally sustainable, and it certainly doesn't rely on people like you. That's it for tonight. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.